I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB here in the Mack Hike of Flowood Studios this Friday. We'll put another week in the books, as we always do. Next hour, we'll get into False Flag Friday. We'll take a look at some foreign policy stuff and pretty brutal images coming out of Ukraine. And not atrocities committed by the Russians, strangely enough. I figure I better cover it here. I doubt you'll see much about it on the mainstream news, but I did see this circulating on some mainstream websites. So anyway, we'll take a look at some foreign policy stuff as we tiptoe around World War III. The United States is doubling down. We're sending more money to Ukraine, and we're adding other countries that we're sending military aid to because Congress has heard you loud and clear. I don't know how many people out there are really enthusiastic at this point about sending a bunch of money to Ukraine. So what's Congress do? They're starting to attack on, we just got some new budgets passed, and they're going to start sending out more money to other countries for basically the same kind of justification that we send money to Ukraine. It's really quite interesting to watch. We are completely helpless and completely ignored when it comes to the federal government and this monstrous budget and their horrific policies. And a lot of this is led by our own Senator Roger Wicker. Again, he'll be praised and smiled at every time he attends a public forum in Mississippi because we are either cowards or sheep. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but doesn't really seem to matter that he plucks your pocket and sends tens of billions of dollars into a money laundering machine. There's just nothing Roger Wicker can do or where Mississippians might express any dissatisfaction with him to his face. You just don't do that. Not in polite society. Anyway, just unbelievable to watch. Crazy. And then we will finish up, as we do every week, chronicling the world's descent into madness. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bookend that today. We're going to start out with the insanity of the world, and then we'll finish up with this week on the crazy train. Quick quote of the day. George Washington said, "It will be found an unjust and unwise jealousy to deprive a man of his natural liberty upon the supposition he may abuse it." Conservatives, liberals, all guilty of this one. Everybody thinks that they should be a free human being. Oh, I should have my freedoms, but we can't give freedoms to everybody because my neighbor will abuse it. My neighbor can't be trusted with his. This is how we've ended up in a police state. And I've spent almost 6 years now trying to convince people on the right that you don't get to pick and choose your freedoms. You don't get to say you want to be a free human being. It's all about the Constitution and limited government. But boy, do I want them cracking down on those weed smokers. You don't get to have it both ways. You've decided to abandon the ideas of real freedom, create a prison colony here in the United States. And now you live in a police state. Nice job. Speaking of the crazy train, I guess I'll start with this. I watched last night. We know what's going on with Kanye West and his battle with the Jewish question. And so Kanye's now gone on with Nick Fuentes. He went on to the Tim Pool show. I saw just a very little bit of that, but apparently Kanye took off when he was challenged on a little, basically just really a very light, tiny amount of pushback. He took off, but then I saw yesterday that he had, Kanye West and Nick Fuentes had gone on to Alex Jones. Have you seen this thing? Yay, I guess I'm supposed to call him. Yay had a full face mask on. This is part of the shock and awe of it all. He's not a disease theater face mask, no, like a full ski mask without even the eye or mouth holes in it, just a black thing across his entire body, including black gloves. You know, I understand why people like Tim Pool, and I mean, Kanye West has done some interesting things. He seems like he would be an interesting conversation to have, and I understand why Alex Jones would have Kanye West and Nick Fuentes on right now. It's all about publicity and getting eyes and ears and as much attention as possible. Alex Jones is an absolutely brilliant media marketer. But it appears to me that the right in this country is really being taken for a ride right now. And I cannot imagine, you have to see some of this thing to maybe understand what I'm saying. I can't imagine being on either side, left or right, and having to carry water for the people that are leading either side of these movements right now. Whether it's the establishment left and trying to carry water for Joe Biden or Fetterman, for any of the cretins that are in this current administration and trying to make excuses for the abject weirdness, the transgender, horrifically unhealthy-looking deputy surgeon general. I mean, it's just, I can't imagine being on the left and trying to make excuses for these people. You must feel really icky inside. But when it comes to what's going on in the right now as well, holy cow. I guess Kanye now, he's come out. I think he's had an awakening. Again, I'm not totally familiar with every... I just don't follow this stuff as much as many people do. But I guess Kanye recently, in the past few years, has had a religious conversion and has become very, very Christian. Jesus is King stuff. But I watched this thing. It was insane. And to be honest, fairly uninteresting and unthought-provoking. It was just really weird theater. You've got Alex Jones, Kanye West in his full body stocking, face-covered gloves, big jacket, doing little voices of people using... he did Benjamin Netanyahu with a small net and a bottle of Yahoo soda. And then you have Nick Fuentes, the 24-year-old incel... The guy that I played the clips yesterday or day before, I can't remember when, he says he's never had a girlfriend. I got to tell you, I said, I think Nick Fuentes, the guy feels like a fed plant to me, designed to stoke more hostility to generate more laws and more overreaction by the left. He feels like a pot-stirring fed plant to me, Nick Fuentes does. But just watching this interview, Alex Jones was helpless to stop it. He didn't dare insult or question or push back on the great Yay. And so he was forced to kind of sign off or ignore some pretty bizarre statements that Kanye West made. And again, so you've got Kanye West, who appears to be deranged to some level. It's been he's an interesting guy. Sometimes says some interesting things, but again, I talked about Nick Fuentes the other day when there was the big dust up about his meeting with Donald Trump, and I said, "Is this guy a thought leader on the right now? I need to brush up on him." And I heard him go off onto a rant about how the fact that he's never dated a woman and never had sex with a female that made him the most heterosexual, that dating girls is gay. This is passing for thought leadership on the right at this point. And then I hear Kanye West on this Alex Jones and Tim Pool thing where he really goes off on just long stream of consciousness, scraping into some good points every now and then just meandering off into things that I can't even understand what he's trying to say. This is what the right now is having to somehow stand behind and support? An incel kid who's never had a relationship with a woman at 24 years old. Now, it's one thing to say I'm a 24-year-old virgin. I'm saving myself for marriage. I do not agree with premarital sex. I am a Christian man. And so I'm just, you know, that's what I believe. It's another thing to say, I've never let a woman into my life because none of them are worth it. It's all their fault. 24 years old to have never had a girlfriend is strange. And so what I feels like is happening, I'm having to watch the right. Watch this conglomeration of Kanye, Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, Donald Trump, Milo Yiannopoulos. And this feels like it has gone so far off of the idea of an America first, what I guess should be small, limited government, although in the America first movement, I don't hear a whole lot about that, to be honest with you. Donald Trump grew the government more than any president before him. Barack Obama grew it more than any president before him. George W. Bush, you know what I'm saying. And Joe Biden will grow it probably more than Donald Trump did. That's going to be tough in 4 years, though, and I'm still not convinced Joe Biden lives out 4 years in office. But they're each horrific. But the America first that is, hey, let's do some manufacturing here. Let's, you know, these kinds of things has devolved into this bizarre show that I really, I look at these things and I've never really understood Kanye West's music that much. Some of the things that I've heard, I haven't really been that impressed with, but I keep hearing people say, you know, such and such an album was a genius thing. And I'll admit I've never listened to it. So he might have some great music out there, but as a person, this feels like it has taken the right in this country, even kind of even the Christianity. Now, all of these things, all of these systems, I mean, the right, the traditional Republican Party, it deserves a giant shakeup. Obviously, I've spent 6 years criticizing the Republican Party, and most opposition I have is to that establishment side of it. What I've said is that the Democrat Party is like being mugged at gunpoint, where they come into your house and they steal your money and they trash the place and it's really chaotic. And the Republican Party has always been that more classy criminal that just really goes in and embezzles from you. They leave the business standing. They don't cause any controversy, but they're still stealing money from you. And that's kind of the difference between the two political parties for me. But this Kanye West thing is fascinating to me. I believe we are seeing the absolute destruction of the right in this country, and I can't decide if this is all planned. Is everybody playing a part here? Is Nick Fuentes playing his part as a inflame people with rhetoric that, you know, say enough that makes some logical sense about how bad our country's gone off the rails to get the right on your side, and then just intersperse it with little ideas. Like I played it the one the other day where he said, we need to have a dictatorship here. We need to take over the whole country and force people to believe what we believe. He says a bunch of things that would be popular with America first people. And then just at the end of it, his conclusion is, yeah, we need to set up a dictatorship and put Trump at the top of it. And I guarantee you that brings a lot of the Trump supporters along. And so the right, it feels to me like you are being led in some weird and dangerous directions. And this is really another case, too. I think it's very much like Trump. That, you know, whether it's Fuentes or Kanye West, they make some good points. They say some interesting things. They call attention to some things that probably would be ignored if they didn't say anything. But they do it in almost the worst way possible to make sure that they repel the largest number of people. They're winning no people over from the other side. It's not calm. It's not rational. It's not well thought out. It's stream of consciousness, just bizarro world. And I think that this kind of stuff is going to break the brains of people on the right. You're going to have to accept so much ridiculous garbage and put yourself out there to try to defend this or defend that. And people are just going to look at you like, what are you doing? This is reminding me a lot of the Q movement that broke so many people. They were the Q movement was essentially a bunch of people that bought into a fairy tale. There were people who committed their entire lives to this fairy tale. They lost their friends and family because they believed in this information Santa Q. And many of them still do. They went down this rabbit hole. So this is just really very bizarre. When I look at craziness, the interview of Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, and Kanye West is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, to think that this is actually presented as the kind of the vanguard of the America First movement. I think they're going to smash you all into 1,000 different pieces and leave absolutely no resistance to the left, to the establishment Republicans. It's so bad that it feels almost scripted. There was a guy here in Mississippi who was for full legalization of marijuana, as I am as well. I am for full legalization of everything. Prohibition does not work. Most people understand that when it comes to guns, but for some reason they think drugs is a different thing, that you can do enough to take drugs out of the hands of people, even though you know that laws won't keep guns out of the hands of people. But anyway. But there's a guy who's for full legalization of marijuana. And the first time I talked to him, he was so bad on the topic. He actually personified so many of the stoner guy stereotypes in his bizarre speech patterns and the positions that he took and how kind of, I don't know if the term's obnoxious or just weird he was about it, that I actually thought he might have been a plant from the drug warriors who set this person up as a bad spokesperson to actually sabotage the movement. And that's what I feel like with some of these people that I'm seeing rise from the right. Here's what you're going to end up getting. I think that Kanye West is, like I say, he's brought up some interesting points. It's a shame that he can't just calmly and rationally more easily explain what it is. Instead, he just goes on this stream of consciousness. I'm told that's what geniuses do. But here's what's going to be the upshot of this. It is it's going to be more anti-Semitic speech laws. You know, Donald Trump played the foil to the media. He took on the media, called them fake news. Yet for some reason, during Donald Trump's term, he made the media stronger. They were making more money. Trump said he was against the globalist. Yet while he was in office, because of the way that he delivered his messages, we ended up getting stronger globalists. Never forget that the Great Reset and the globalist takeover of the entire planet under the COVID hysteria, that started on Trump's watch. And with what Kanye West and Nick Fuentes are out there doing right now, along with Alex Jones, the Jewish lobby is going to become more powerful in the same way. Like Trump was the greatest fundraiser that the Democrats have ever had and will continue to be a great fundraiser for the Democrats, Kanye is going to be the gift that keeps on giving to the ADL. Now, I guess he's sincere, and he's probably got some legitimate gripes about things that have taken place in his business life, the censorship. I don't agree with anybody censoring him and trying to deplatform him and ruin his life for anything that he says. But his style, the style of that panel that I saw, Kanye West, Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, it is going to make all of their enemies more powerful. Is that a mistake? Is it just happenstance? Or I tell you, it feels to me like the right is being taken on this weird ride. I think Donald Trump is going to end up destroying the Republican Party, either on purpose or just because he and his supporters will not accept any way except his way. And they will splinter off and the right will lose so many people that regular Republicans or even more mainstream but liberty-minded Republicans won't be able to win anymore because the Trump supporters are going to take their toys and go home. I just feel like what I am watching is the complete implosion of the right at a time where the left has never been worse. It's not hard to oppose the left right now logically, calmly, sanely. And instead, we've gone on this weird, weird path. If you have not seen, I guess I've spent a lot of time talking about this, but I found myself, I watched about an hour, I think it was about 3 hours long. I finally just couldn't take it anymore. I was like, what is this? If you have not seen the Kanye West, Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes thing, Nick Fuentes, the right, the incel wearing a blue hoodie, he's 24 years old. And this is the best the right has got out there in the culture wars? It's just absolutely bizarre. So that starts out this week on the crazy train, and we'll finish it up at the end of next hour. But holy cow, if you've not seen this interview, you tell me what I'm missing here. How this way does not lead to tears. Oh, for the right. Yeah, I think you are being taken down a weird, bad path. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know?
She was with one of the most interesting things to me about where the America First movement seems to be heading. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm paying attention to these headlines more, and most people who are Trump supporters or America First or MAGA people are really not on board with all this weirdness. But it feels pretty big. I mean, Alex Jones, Kanye West, Nick Fuentes, fresh off of a meeting actually with Donald Trump, at least Kanye was, he was meeting with Donald Trump. And appealing to particularly the Christians in this country. He's a very religious guy now. Didn't used to be, but he is now. But the strangest thing to me about it is that I've watched for the 4 years of the Trump administration, really 5 years of leading up to it, where the media just cast everybody who might support Donald Trump as a racist and a anti-Semite, which is bizarre, too, because Donald Trump, there was no president. He keeps bragging about it. There's no president that's ever been better for the state of Israel than me. Donald Trump would not go on Gab because the Gab would not censor anti-Israel views. Donald Trump, I saw a picture of him recently. Somebody had sent a selfie out from the Zionist Organization of America convention. So Donald Trump is certainly not an anti-Semite. He did, I would say, statistically, maybe more for the state of Israel. He gave part of Syria to Israel, just gave it to him. It's kind of interesting. Must be nice. It's bad enough to steal money from the American people and hand it out like Biden does and try to take credit for it. And Donald Trump just took some land from one country and gave it to Israel. But I watched all these charges during the Trump administration and everything of all Trump supporters are just racists and they're homophobes and they're anti-Semites and all these ridiculous charges that were certainly not based in fact whatsoever. The fact that Donald Trump would ever be called an anti-Semite when his top advisor was Jared Kushner, an Orthodox Jew, was just bizarre. But when it's all said and done now, I believe they are actually going to corral people into those positions and make it easier for the ADL to point fingers at the America First movement as some Hitlerian movement. I don't know why you want to make it actually easier for these groups. But Nick Fuentes and Kanye West, are these now the nexus of the America First movement? And poor Alex Jones. Alex was the smartest person on that dais of that interview, and yet he still felt hamstrung. He didn't dare offend the delicate genius of Kanye West because he had just stormed off of a Tim Pool show. So I guess Alex Jones, for rating purposes, I understand Alex's motivation. But he was just caught flat-footed, and he was having to you could just tell things were making him uncomfortable, and it's so easy to just have a quick debate. You don't have to do it out of hate with things that Fuentes and Kanye West were saying. But he didn't dare say anything because he doesn't want to appear as he's going against his tribe. I don't know. It's weird. Weird stuff. But ultimately, it seems to me that these people are going to end up taking the right-wing MAGA movement, which was not a racist or white supremacist or anti-Semitic movement, and label you with it and make it much, much harder to actually shake that that label. I guess I just struggle with what exactly I'm seeing here. And when I look at, you know, the only thing I can really do, I don't travel in a whole lot of big groups of people where I can do a focus group. So I travel in comments on these stories and watching people trip all over themselves to ignore what is just kind of bizarre ranting by Ye and mine out the few little nuggets of sane good points that he makes and still hoist him up as a hero of the right. It's just... it's kind of hard to watch. What I see happening, I'm just going to say it, what I see happening is that the right is being dismantled. It's going to be split into at least two large factions, which makes them completely impotent at the ballot box. I know. Some states are going to cheat anyway. It doesn't really matter. But just as an even opposing force to the left, the right's going to be broken into at least two pieces, probably three or four different pieces, which will make the right completely ineffective to stop this move by the left, by globalism, because they're going to be so fractured. And that is exactly where I see this thing heading. We'll see. Only time will tell. But if you keep at this pace, you can count on a Democrat president in 2024, probably Democrat Congress, for a long time, and just absolutely, the globalists are just going to absolutely roll the world as the right tries to follow each one of these Pied Pipers around into weird and strange directions. It's a shame to see. I've got my arguments with Republicans, with positions on the right, but as I say, I like the fact that there is an opposing force to the left. I just see this opposing force on the right being shattered into a million pieces right now. We'll see. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Well, I was wondering if maybe I was kind of caught in the media trap of seeing Alex Jones, and maybe to most people it doesn't really matter. It's not really that big in the MAGA movement. Trump just entertains having Kanye over because Kanye says nice things about him. But then I run across this story. It's running today on Mediaite. Apparently the House Judiciary, the Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee at one point tweeted out, Kanye, Elon, Trump. And during an interview on Tucker Carlson, which is certainly kind of one of the heart shows of the MAGA right, Kanye told Carlson that we need to, quote, rethink who we are as a species right now. Well, no arguments with that. I think that's true, too. But they went on to say, and that the vision for the future would come from himself. That's Kanye, Elon Musk, and Donald Trump. I got to tell you, that's not my vision for the future. Not any of those three am I really interested in controlling the future. Elon Musk is another one. You know, they've just started these trials. I think we're something like 6 weeks or 6 months away from rolling out the first human experiments with Neuralink. This is Elon Musk's thing. Apparently he's got some monkeys working with it right now, and he's going to roll out this brain chip interface sometime soon. I mean, it just feels like, you know, Elon Musk will set himself up as the hero of the right. And then he will be the one who can sell you on brain implant chips. Because I've seen what happens with the hero worship of the right. Boy, it doesn't matter what they do, you will excuse it. And this is not just the right. The left does this too. But I'm talking about these leaders that I guess are kind of leaders of the America First thing now. I mean, if the Republicans on the House Judiciary are pointing to this idea of Kanye, Musk, and Trump being the future, then obviously it has some legitimacy in the direction of our political lives. But you're going to have Elon Musk become a hero of the right, and then he'll just slip in the break. He'll be able to somehow, because everybody already loves him and are scared to call him out, and I've seen this over and over again. This is the curse of Trump to me. Trump did some great things, but you had to be for everything he did and justify every single thing he did. I mean, the guy gets a pass on rolling out the most deadly shot. Hundreds of thousands of Americans, millions of people will have their lives physically, mentally destroyed because of this Operation Warp Speed thing. And people just go, yeah, well, it wasn't his fault. He got duped. He didn't try to force it on anybody. I mean, it's one of the most egregious experiments ever done on humanity, and Trump gets a pass on it. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And so if Elon Musk can really solidify himself as one of the shepherds of the right, oh, sure, he's our free speech guy. He put big tech in their place. He took over Twitter and gave us a voice again. I guess I'll take the chip, too. And then you've got Nick Fuentes telling you, look, here's all the things that are wrong with America. And people on the right will go, yeah, that's right. This place is just falling apart. It's just chaos and depravity. And Nick Fuentes will be the one that sells you on a dictatorship. That's what he says we need. He calls it ironically. Ironically, what we really need is a dictatorship where we need to take over and make everybody believe what we believe. And the right will say, okay. We're down with the chip. We're down with the dictatorship. You know, all of the things that the right intuitively, intellectually would be against, I think is going to be sold to them by these new heroes on the right. I don't know what Kanye's ending plot to his whole thing is, but I think now he's taking people who have been on the America First side, who have been charged with this ridiculous charge of anti-Semitism, and now he's going to make it real. Because the Jewish media, there's all kinds of Jewish, way outsized influence on our government. No doubt about that. I've been talking about it for 6 years here. How we are the handmaiden to the state of Israel. It was also one of my problems with Donald Trump. I do not shy away from the idea that the state of Israel has too much power on us. But Anthony Fauci's not a Jew. Was Anthony Fauci and what's his name? Francis Collins at the NIH. Aren't they both Catholics? They sure did a whole lot of damage to us, too. The Vatican. I mean, but I don't go out and say Catholics are destroying us all. There certainly are elements that do it. But anyway, I guess this is the legitimate way. I don't know where this is going to take you people. But I do not think you're going to appreciate the end result of it. These heroes on the right are weird right now, and they are taking you in some bizarre ways that I think if we weren't in this trench warfare, well, Kanye West has got all the right enemies, so he must be right about everything. That's kind of the way it goes. But it doesn't work that way. You can have the right enemies and still not be a positive force out there for the direction of the movement, the rally behind. So we'll see. I wasn't even going to talk about it again when I came back from this break, but then I run across the story where the House Judiciary GOP members are pointing to this triumvirate of Kanye West, Elon Musk, and Donald Trump being the direction of the Republican Party and the right going forward. Oof. That scares the hell out of me, I'll be honest.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
I don't even know what I want to finish up this hour with. There's some economic news that's fairly interesting. But I find myself fascinated with what's going on in the right now. And this, it's just bizarro world to me. Absolutely, you know, people that have, I don't know, not that long ago, we might have looked at and thought they were an amusement, are now the thought leaders. The more controversy, the better. The more you anger the left, the better. How's that working out for the right? You know, the best movement the right has had, probably in modern times, certainly in my life, was the Tea Party. Tea Party was very effective. It was very well-reasoned. It pointed out some great things. Now, they did have the financial crisis right as their predecessor, so it was pretty easy to explain to Americans the con job of bailing out big corporations, taking money from little people, letting them lose their houses, but assuring the bonuses of Wall Street. It was a pretty easy sell. But the Tea Party was just normal people coming together and saying, enough is enough already. This is ridiculous. And if they had ever joined forces with Occupy Wall Street, which was the left's reaction to the banker bailouts as well, it might have actually made some change. But instead, the two parties came in and put their loving arms around the movements, and the Tea Party got absorbed into the Republican blob. I remember Dick Armey somehow. He was a Republican Congress critter from Texas. He somehow became some officer or something with the Tea Party. And as soon as I saw that, I said, well, there it goes. Never to be heard from again. Where's the Tea Party now? Now the Tea Party is the MAGA movement, the America First movement, which also has some very legitimate points, but doing the worst job in the world of selling it to a whole lot of people. And the points seem to be easy to make. I mean, is there any time in our nation's history where it's easier for people, black, white, young, old, rich, poor, it doesn't even matter. Is it hard to point out exactly how off the rails our system has become? There's so many things that on their face are very easy to understand. The money to Ukraine, the inflation. This is not an environment where it's really a hard sell to sell ideas of the fact that the American system is screwed up. And yet they're finding people to put at the top of this movement that actually can turn people away from that, from those talking points. The Tea Party was very, and it was effective in terms of winning at the ballot box. You remember that was a true red wave in 2010 on the heels of the Tea Party organizing itself. Now you've got an America First movement that can't get off the starting gates, whether it's through election fraud or not. The bottom line is it ain't working. So you would think you would be looking for something a little bit more sound and reasonable and maybe attractive to normie people out there. Instead, it's going more bizarre. More and more bizarre. Meanwhile, I'm looking at Market Watch. I was just checking out where the market's going. I had a big jobs report. It just shows the economy is just doing great. The market has been up. The good jobs report is actually bad because it means the Fed may need to raise interest rates. We're living in these times where good news is bad and bad news is good, because it really all anybody cares about in our country when it comes to the economy is, can we still keep going into debt? Can you give us free, cheap money? We need free, cheap debt. That's what we need. That's the basis of the entire economy at this point. Are Americans going to be able to get lower interest credit cards to be able to buy stuff on? Are interest rates going to come down so Americans don't have to pay so much interest on all the debt they're accumulating? Can corporations go out and borrow more money? That's the basis of our stock market now. It's not about, well, look at that. Americans are prosperous. They've got money to spend. They're moving up in house, whatever. None of those things matter. Economic conditions don't matter. It's all about debt. Just watch. Every time the Fed's about to speak, the market just holds its breath. What are they going to say? Are we going to be able to get back to getting a bunch of cheap debt? Oh, no. A good jobs report, that means they might keep raising interest rates. And we can't get cheap debt, so better sell our stocks. It's all about debt at this point. U.S. savings rate, I think, has hit it's at lowest since 2008. It's like 2%, something like that. Just think about that for a second. U.S. savings rate. So if you're making, let's say, $100,000 and you're planning to retire at some point, you want to maintain that standard of living, So you set aside money. This is the game, right, for retirement. You want to set aside enough money that you can draw an income on, kind of keep you in a salary without working. Well, if you're saving 2% of $100,000, you're saving $2,000 a year. How many years you got to save that to even accumulate 1 year of income in the future? You know what I'm saying? You can't sustain yourself on a savings rate as a country on 2% savings. Well, that's where we are. There's a story on MarketWatch. Dear tax guy, I've accumulated a lot of junk. I plan on making $6,000 selling stuff on eBay. Can I put it into an IRA instead of paying income tax? This is where we are. Guys got to ask questions. Hey, I'm going to sell some of my stuff. Is the government going to come after me? This is how far we've gone. And then underneath that, IRS warns about new $600 threshold for PayPal and Venmo payments. That's right. They're keeping an eye on your $600 payments from now on. The IRS wants to remind you of that. Whew. We're headed in some bad directions. I'll be right back. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB here in the Mac Hike of Flowood Studios. It's Friday. We're going to focus in on a little bit of foreign policy stuff here, military-industrial complex stuff. But I wanted to finish up something from last hour because it kind of actually is a good transition into my quote of the day today with False Flag Friday. This to really show you how much freedom we've lost, how intrusive the government is in our lives right now in the United States. I read you this question to MarketWatch. It says, Dear Tax Guy, I've accumulated a lot of junk. I plan to make $6,000 selling stuff on eBay. Can I put it into an IRA instead of paying income tax? This is what this guy's question is. Now, let me just ask you something. I'm not an eBayer, but if you've accumulated a lot of junk and you sell it on eBay, are you selling it for more than you bought it for? Most likely, no. You're trying to just get rid of a bunch of junk, usually for probably 25 to 35% of what you paid for it in the first place. This guy is going to take a loss on every single thing he sells on eBay. But are we in a system now where eBay is going to generate for him some kind of a tax document saying, look at that, he made $6,000. No, he didn't. I would imagine on this $6,000 worth of stuff he sells, he's probably lost at least $10,000. He probably spent $16,000 to $20,000 to purchase this stuff, and now he's going to dump it on the market because he doesn't need it anymore for $6,000, and he's worried about the IRS taxing him on that new income. It's not income. Not to mention the fact that all the stuff that people buy, they buy it post-tax money. They tax your money. You take the money that you have left over after taxes, you buy something. You sell that for a third of what you paid for it, and the IRS wants another swipe at it? They want eBay to rat you out for more income coming in? We are just slaves. We're able to move about and marry who we want. Well, there are certain things, like there's beautiful things that go on in life. There's no actual whip across our back. I mean, they will kidnap you and put you into a cage, maybe, if you don't include your eBay W-9 with your tax return. But we are just sharecropper slaves at this point of the government. Holy cow. Just brings me to also my quote of the day, a guy named Steven Geiger. He tweeted this out. The IRS is warning Americans that this tax season they must report payments on Venmo, PayPal, and Zelle of over $600. Meanwhile, the Pentagon just failed its fifth audit in a row as they were unable to account for 61% of their $3.5 trillion in assets. They have an $800 billion annual budget. So the government is coming after you and saying, hey, you make $601 on Venmo, you better make sure that you report that stuff. They're going to, we've got the tech companies, they're going to report to us. But the Pentagon and these audits of the Pentagon cost like billions of dollars. They've failed five in a row, can't account for 61% of their $3.5 trillion in assets. That's a lot of money. You think if the government's really interested in garnering income and making sure that the Treasury has all the money it's supposed to have, maybe they should focus in on that $3.5 trillion of assets rather than the $600 you made from a garage sale. Holy cow. The House and Senate. The House and Senate have agreed to increase the 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, by $45 billion more than President Biden requested. The $45 billion increase was agreed on by the House and Senate Armed Services Committee. God, who do we know? Who do we know that serves as a senior member of the Senate Armed Services? Oh, that's right, our own Roger Wicker. The $45 billion increase was agreed on by the House and Senate Armed Services Committees, but other details of the NDAA are still being finalized. The increase the two panels agreed on brings the bill to $847 billion. Once finalized, it will be the second year in a row that Congress significantly increases President Biden's requested budget. Last year, the president asked for $753 billion but was granted an NDAA worth about $778 billion. And then here's this, too. Over the past few months, lawmakers have been trying to tack on amendments to the spending bill that would give Taiwan unprecedented military aid. But the contents and amendments included in the NDAA aren't yet clear. We are now at $847 billion. This is a Pentagon budget for an organization that for the fifth time in a row is not able to pass an audit. So what's our response? What is Roger Wicker's committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee? What's their response to this? Give them more money. And what's amazing to me and really kind of gross, because on its face it sounds great. You've got Republicans saying, when we take over the House, we want to see an accounting for every penny that goes to Ukraine. This money just flying over to Ukraine with no accountability, no tracking. We're hearing of weapons making it into the black market. We're going to get to the bottom of this Ukraine aid before we spend another dime on Ukraine. But for decades now, they have continued to increasingly fund a Pentagon budget where they say they've lost somewhere. The Pentagon itself, they cannot account for somewhere between, and it depends on whose numbers you take, somewhere between $8 and $21 trillion in accounting adjustments. $21 trillion. The Pentagon can't account for. And the Congress critters say, we need to give them more money. Can you even imagine the, and the reason they do this is because nobody cares. Roger Wicker will come back to Mississippi during December and do some ribbon cuttings and some holiday things, and he'll be greeted like a conquering hero. Not one person will ask him, hey, Roger, what the hell are you doing bankrupting our country and dumping money into an organization that cannot, for the fifth time in a row, pass an audit and may have lost $21 trillion, and you've decided to give them record amounts of money every single year you've been on the Armed Services Committee? Nobody will ever say that to him. The largest part of that is the propaganda that military spending is what makes us great. It doesn't matter that we spend now, I guess it's somewhere, what was it, 14 times what Russia has spent on their military? Yet we're told they're about to take over the world if we don't act. I don't know how they're going to do it on $60 billion a year, but supposedly they've built quite the force on $60 billion. We've lost wars spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year for the past 20 years. This really is just Like, you're not going to hear about it anywhere else. Nobody else cares. And for the past 30, 40 years, I've listened to conservative talk radio. Military budgets are never to be questioned. You're supposed to cheer for big military budgets. Doesn't matter how bankrupt we are. You're supposed to cheer for these things and ignore the fact they can't pass an audit. And ignore this other thing, too. Jake Shields has sent out a tweet as hard as it's photographic. It's not good. He says, who should we liberate next? It's got pictures of Iraq, Libya, Yemen, and Syria. Before and after American, air quotes here in the studio, liberation. You should see these pictures. These bustling cities of new-looking buildings and people moving about the streets and cars going about in the before picture, in the after picture. It's just a wasteland of destroyed buildings, decay, dust, cars covered in rubble. These formerly prosperous, normal places where people across the world just went about their business, and now it's just a shell of a town. If you can imagine, you've seen the pictures of Europe during World War II, and the cities where they had the battles, and there's just debris in the streets, and the tanks are rolling between the debris. That's what these countries look like. From American, air quotes here in the studio, liberation. Never ones to stop bad policy and keeping it going. The U.S. is set to ramp up its training of the Ukrainian forces, as if the Pentagon and U.S. intelligence had already escalated its presence through enough inside Ukraine, given there's already literally a small contingent of boots on the ground. CNN is now reporting that the Biden administration is considering, quote, dramatically increasing its training of Ukrainian forces. The proposal would involve U.S. advisors training much larger groups of Ukrainian soldiers in more sophisticated battlefield tactics at American installations in Germany and perhaps other locations in Europe, according to a new report. CNN begins the reporting by saying, quote, the Biden administration is considering a dramatic expansion in the training U.S. military provides to Ukrainian forces, including instructing as many as 2,500 Ukrainian soldiers a month at a U.S. base in Germany, according to multiple officials. I wonder who's going to pay for that. Huh. Well, we know who's going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that, which is also interesting because there was a story out yesterday. It actually made it onto Market Watch is where I saw this. I'm not sure exactly where all it is. Videos appear to show Ukrainian troops shooting surrendering Russians. Footage circulated on social media appears to depict the moments before nearly a dozen Russian soldiers were shot after surrendering, raising accusations of war crimes by both Ukrainian and Russian officials. This was originally posted on the Wall Street Journal. So the Russians come out to surrender. The Ukrainians murder them. Is this, wonder if this is part of the U.S. training? Is this what we're training? We're training the Nazis over there. I'll be right back. All right, a couple weeks ago, we played a clip that was making the rounds, a former CIA agent talking about the propaganda to the American people, how the CIA, this was an interview from, I can't remember, it was a 60 Minutes interview or who it was with. It was about 4 minutes long. It was pretty in-depth where this guy just said, look, I was with the agency and what we did to the American people and trying to just lie to them and plant stories. And the guy said, you know, he would buddy up with, his job was with the CIA, he would buddy up with reporters. He'd stay in the hotels with them. He'd meet them down at the bars and stuff. And then he'd give them a couple of little actionable things to kind of whet their appetite. And then when he wanted to throw out the big lie, they were ready for it. They trusted him. And he would put out stories, give reporters bogus stories, and they'd say, well, is there any way I can confirm that? And they said, yeah, you can call the British ambassador. And this CIA guy would have already talked to the British ambassador and said, look, I'm about to put out a bogus story to the New York Times or LA Times or whoever it was. When they call you, I need you to confirm it. Oh, okay. The CIA guy just laid this stuff right out. That's just what they do. This was another one that I thought was kind of interesting. This was a I don't recognize the interviewer. I'm not sure what the show was. And thank you to John who sent me this clip. But this is another CIA guy talking about talking in an interview. You can kind of tell from the grainy footage. It looks like something else from the 70s. I guess the 70s was the last time they really tried to get us any truth about this stuff. So we have to keep going back to that. But this is another CIA guy talking about just how dishonest about the amount of propaganda that is put out into American media to get us to go along with all these wars.
CIA is not an intelligence agency. It's a covert action agency. Covert action being overthrowing or supporting foreign governments. Another part of covert action is disinformation. And the American people, in my estimation, are the primary target audience of the agency's disinformation operation. And I view Vietnam, the entire Vietnam War, was brought to us, sold to us, by agency disinformation operations. At the when I say us, I mean the American people.
Yeah. So this is a guy just echoing about essentially what the other guy said. He talked a lot. This was back in the 70s, and the CIA guy said, "Yeah, we used to just go out and float stories about the Viet Cong were building up forces here or there, and so." They would report this, and then the CIA would get more arms, get more weapons, get more military action based on a buildup that they floated out to the press that wasn't actually happening at all. And these kinds of things just continue to keep on happening. Let me find this headline here. Here's one like this one. This is appearing on MSN from the Washington Post. The headline is, "Rise in Iranian Assassination Kidnapping Plots Alarms Western Officials." In the summer of 2021, officers from the Canadian Security Intelligence Service showed up at the Vancouver home of Ramin Saeed Amami, an Iranian-Canadian musician and performer who hosts a popular Persian-language podcast. And they're talking about the fact that they've got all these new plots out there right now, this more demonization of Iran, because they still want that war. I am really convinced that this is a project to kick off this war with Iran, as we're dealing with Russia and China, pretty much we're going to be at World War III. These will be the big three countries. Russia, China, and Iran. Now, Iran's got a terrible government, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're up to some no good stuff here. But just knowing that this stuff is constantly planted in the media, I get everybody say you might want to... have a little bit more skepticism than we've had in the past. It's one of these things where people can catch on to the game when it comes to Ukraine. But as soon as another country is mentioned where your side thinks that they are the bad guys, you believe everything that comes out about that country. Iran is the target, shouldn't be the target of the United States. It's the target of Israel and Saudi Arabia, and we're just doing their bidding. It says, Tehran has targeted former senior U.S. government officials, dissidents who have fled the country for the United States, Britain, Canada, Turkey, and Europe, media organizations critical of the regime, and Jewish civilians, or those with links to Israel, according to the officials and government documents. Iran's intelligence and security services rely largely on proxies to carry out their plans, offering hundreds of thousands of dollars to jewel thieves, drug dealers, and other criminals in murder-for-hire schemes, the officials said. That hands-off approach probably caused some operations to fail, the official said, as plots have been disrupted, and in some cases the hired hitmen appear to have gotten cold feet and never carried out their orders. And this is just a whole story about more Iran, always bad, always on the march. Pay no attention to the fact that we have been trying to destroy their country since 1953. Well, we didn't try to destroy it when we put our strongmen in there, the Shah. We left him alone then because he was giving our oil companies all the oil they could possibly want. But as soon as they overthrew the American strongman, the Shah, in 1979, ever since then, Iran is ultimately always the bad guy. Like I say, I don't like the government of Iran, but can we please stop looking at everything in the media that they report about these regimes and say it's a cause for why we need to get more aggressive with them? This has worked for so long. It's so sad. I had a story here, too, that was kind of interesting, but I don't have time to get down into it. There have been some document dumps that have called into question some of the biggest video games, particularly like Call of Duty. And I guess they've got a new one of these video games out. These things do look like they're fun. I mean, my son has played these kinds of things. I've never dedicated myself to learning the controller, so I'm not a gamer. But it's turning out, you know, there's a lot of Pentagon plots and things put into these things. And I guess in the most recent one, you get to celebrate murdering an Iranian general just like Donald Trump murdered Soleimani. This is one of the tasks, I guess, of the new video game. And maybe this is where we get our thirst for war. Maybe the video games are a portion of that to get people used to going around the world and seeing it as heroic and patriotic to travel to foreign lands of people that have done nothing to us and murder them there. And we just need to get people to do it for hours and hours a day for decades before they believe that that's actually the way that the world should work. A closer inspection of Activision's Blizzard's key staff and their connections to state power, as well as details gleaned from documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act, reveal that Call of Duty is not a neutral first-person shooter, but a carefully constructed piece of military propaganda designed to advance the interests of the U.S. national security state. And this tweeter, again, I've never played these games before. It says, in the first 5 minutes of the new Call of Duty has you pilot the missile that kills Soleimani. That's the Iranian general that Trump killed. Yeah, this propaganda, it's everywhere. It's on your TV. It's in your movies. It's in your video games. It is absolutely everywhere. It's how they've turned a really very generous Christian nation into the evil empire that the United States is around the world. I guess that's how you do it. That's the playbook. Be right back. What's your frequency? Can it be your benzo drain? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, here in the Mack Hike of Flowood Studios, finishing up the week the same way we always do, chronicling the world's descent into madness in this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train. I got to tell you, COVID stuff has figured pretty prominently in these segments for a while, and it's really not going away, but this is not COVID-related. Just check this out. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the lying Walensky as I refer to her, the head of the CDC, sent out a tweet a couple of days ago, and listen to this. Particularly to my black brothers and sisters out there that are still listening to the CDC, you're wearing your mask because you think the CDC loves you and shot you straight. They're just trying to protect you. Here is the CDC director. Just a couple of days ago, she said, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the end of the Tuskegee syphilis study. Tomorrow, I'll be joined by colleagues and public health leaders as we honor the 623 African-American men, their suffering and sacrifice, and our commitment to ethical research and practice. She's honoring the guys that the CDC experimented on without their knowledge. And she calls it their sacrifice. They were sacrificed. No, they had no earthly idea that you had even infected them and were just watching them and not offering them any medical care. You wanted to see how syphilis moved through the black community and what it did to people. Rob Schneider tweeted in response, the Tuskegee experiment was not an experiment. It was the CDC-sponsored torture and murder. The participants were never told that they were deliberately given syphilis, so they gave it to their families as well. These poor people were not doing a sacrifice. They were being sacrificed. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in the black community right now carrying water for this CDC, doing everything they said. I think you might have forgotten their history with your people. Dr. Jha, He is the COVID coordinator, the COVID czar for the hapless Joe Biden. I was just watching a video during the break of him when Macron was in. Joe Biden just wanders off the stage and starts looking the wrong direction. Macron has to turn him around to face the cameras. Oh, God. Holy cow. This is Dr. Zha. Each person in this COVID regime, I don't know if it's because they're having to go to the benches because the original OGs of the horrific COVID response, the hysterical, hypochondriac, control freak, totalitarian response, they're taking for the exits. So it's only the B-team dupes who will still take these positions. But Dr. Zha, formerly of NBC News medical contributor, now he's at the White House. He is among the absolute worst.
That America's physicians, like the real leaders of American medicine, the people you trust for your cancer care and your heart care and your pediatrics care, are out there telling you need to go get a vaccine. You can decide to trust America's physicians or you can trust some random dude on Twitter. Like, those are your choices. But I think the key here is to get trusted voices out there spreading truth, spreading science-based information. And for journalists and for people who run platforms, what I would say is you should be thinking about what your personal responsibility is. And do you want to be a source of misinformation and disinformation? That's up to those individuals. But I really think it's really important for us, for me, to be spreading good information.
Yeah. He said, are you going to listen to these people who are directing your care in all other areas of your health or just some random dudes on Twitter? And of course, by these random dudes on Twitter he's talking about, it's many very well-credentialed medical people themselves who disagree with the COVID regime and are pointing out the horrific results from this vaccine program, ineffective and wildly unsafe. He thinks you should listen to more of them. What I think is the highlight of that clip is he's right. These are the people that you're looking to in your other parts of your life to direct your medical care. And the vast majority of them lost their ever-loving minds during COVID and are right now pushing toddlers to get experimental genetic therapies. That should tell you, it should give you a little pause that you're going to consult with that kind of a person on anything else having to do with your health either. Of course, here's a weird one.
Plus, as families prepare to gather for Thanksgiving, health officials are warning the surge in respiratory infections could get worse. Some pediatric hospitals around the country are already full. And it's not just the young getting sick. Older people are being hospitalized with the virus RSV at alarming rates.
Huh. What could possibly be causing some enhanced reaction to RSV in older adults? That's not usual. What's changed in the last couple of years that might have led many adults to be wildly more susceptible to a floating wild virus? Could it? No, couldn't be, could it? We've vaccinated everybody, destroyed their immune systems, and now we run scare headlines about the fact that people are getting, adults are getting sick from RSV. This is a sick, sick joke.
Common prescription drugs like amoxicillin, Tamiflu, and Ceftonir might be harder to find as the country continues through this triple-demic of the COVID, flu, and RSV illness.
Between the three, there's just a shortage, you know, and the manufacturers just can't keep up with the supply.
Local pharmacies, including Cornersburg Family Discount Drug, Hometown Pharmacy, and Village Pharmacy, tell us certain medications are on back order. The American Society of Health System Pharmacists pointing to the sudden rise in demand for this time of year.
Amoxicillin, we've been able to get in at this pharmacy. I know some other pharmacies that I work at cannot get it.
Hometown Pharmacy's VP told me over the phone they're currently stocked on all medications except for Ceftonir.
So there are some pharmacies that may have them in stock, but if you go to order them now, it's pretty much unavailable.
So we're not talking about COVID there. We're talking about all these other diseases. Now regular drugs are in short supply because there's so many sick people this year. What has changed the past couple of years where so many people are so much more sick? We found out what Massachusetts was up to during COVID. I love when these stories are starting to trickle out of exactly how authoritarian we went.
A lawsuit alleges the Massachusetts Department of Public Health used Google technology to install tracking apps secretly on more than a million Android phones. The lawsuit claims that it was part of the state government's efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19 through contact tracing. The new Civil Liberties Alliance accuses the health department of brazen disregard for civil liberties, this by allegedly installing spyware that tracks and records movement and personal contacts without, quote, their owner's permission and awareness. The class action style suit says the actions by the health department violate both the Massachusetts and U.S. constitutions. The lawsuit further states that conspiring with a private company to hijack residents' smartphones without the owner's knowledge or consent is not a tool that the Massachusetts Department of Public Health may lawfully employ in its efforts to combat COVID-19.
I wonder if Thomas Dobbs was aware of that one, or I wonder if that happened to the people of Mississippi. Do you think Thomas Dobbs would have blinked for even a second of violating your privacy, be able to track and trace you during COVID? That hysterical little girl named Thomas Dobbs. Of course, here's another one I'm sure Thomas Dobbs will be down with. I think this is, this is up in Ontario. This is Canada. They've got some ideas for any of you people who are still anti-vax.
I mean, there is a definite assault against the unvaccinated. And you've talked about how they recommend, you know, perhaps psychiatric medication or something for people that don't want to take a vaccine.
So this has come out recently out of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. The college sent out a letter or a memo to all the doctors in Ontario suggesting to them, now so far they're not mandating it, they're just suggesting it, that any of their unvaccinated patients, that they should consider that they have a mental problem and that they should be put on psychiatric medication.
What?
So far it's just a suggestion, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario should not be making these kinds of suggestions. This is extremely unethical, and this is a very, very slippery slope. If they're suggesting that people who wish to have bodily autonomy and don't want an experimental vaccine, that there may be something mentally wrong with them, that is a very, very dangerous slippery slope that we're on.
Oh, man, you're so right. I just thank you for your courage. The people of Canada are really appreciative of what you've done.
Yeah. So in Canada, you don't want the shot, something's wrong with you. Got to put you on some meds. I guarantee you that's been discussed here in the United States. And then this was a weird one. Dr. Simone Gold, she was America's frontline doctor hero. And she's the one that ended up going to jail too for January 6th stuff. I think she's did 3 months in jail. I don't know if she's in or she's out, but this is a little concerning when you look at someone who rose to prominence, doing some good work during COVID, but has the success that she had gone to her head a tiny bit?
Simone Gold purchased a $3.6 million home in Naples, Florida, without authorization from the board. She also then went along with her boyfriend, John Strand, and they also went and put a lease on another home in Naples, Florida, a down payment of $45,000 with, I think, a subsequent like $12,000 a month, something outrageous. And then she and her boyfriend, they went along and actually purchased three vehicles, a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, a Hyundai Genesis, and a GMC Denali. In addition, they were spending monthly up to $12,000 a month on a personal security officer, $5,600 on a personal housekeeper. I don't know how dirty their house was. Plus other personal items were placed on the credit card and in the amount of nearly $50,000 a month. In addition, Simone Gold was also renting private planes, and at least twice she rented these private planes, and in one instance, exceeding over $100,000.
This just really goes back to my whole thesis. You got to be really careful who you hoist on your shoulders as heroes. They are many times not the people that you think that they are. Be right back.
Citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I had a short week this week, and I haven't had a chance to make sure that I plug my good friends down at stoningtonfarm.com. I want to remind everybody, if you are looking for good quality, Mississippi-born, raised, and processed beef, raised, no hormones, no antibiotics, and fed only as God intended, which is a grass-fed beef from start to end, then you need to check out Stonington Farm. The nutritional profile of this meat is better than anything you're going to get in the grocery stores, and it is cheaper. I actually was in a store yesterday, and I swung by the meat case just to see what they were charging for ribeyes, sirloins, these kinds of things. Stonington Farm beef is cheaper than what was at the grocery store for a higher quality meat. And you're doing business with a local farmer. This is Dr. Mike Stonington and his great wife, Katie. They're the ones running the farm down there. They're now making deliveries up to Jackson of small amounts. They started out, you had to order a half cow to save delivery fees. Now they're getting onto a regular schedule of bringing up smaller things. It was beautiful. Last time I went and picked up some meat, I met four or five people that listened to the show who were there picking up. She's got a giant cooler in her van there, and she's just doling out big, giant bags full of Stonington Farm beef. So definitely check these people out. You can find them online, stoningtonfarm.com. That's S-T-O-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, farm, singular.com, Stonington Farm. You can look and see everything that they've got offered, what their pricing is, specials that they've got going on, and then you're going to call a phone number and talk probably to Katie Stonington herself. She'll tell you what they've got, what you might want. She can answer any questions you've got about the different cuts of beef, but I can't be happier. It's so easy to promote these people because it checks off all the boxes. Small, locally owned, Mississippi business, great nutritional profile, no pharmaceutical invention in the interventions in this meat. You're just getting a good quality piece of beef for less money. So check them out, stoningtonfarm.com. All right, what do we want to finish with here? What have I got time for? Well, I thought this was kind of funny. Joe Biden's got plenty of ways that Americans in this tough economic time can save some money.
500 for new doors, 2,000 to install a heat pump, 600 to replace electric panels. These are what, here's what this means. If you're living in a home with a drafty windows and doors starting January 1, you'll be able to save up to $1,100 in the cost of replacing them. And that's just on the upgrade. You're also going to save a lot of money going forward because your utility bills will be lower. And that's good for your wallet, but it's also good for the environment because you're using less energy. And that's not all. If you want to install solar panels on the roof, you can get a tax credit for 30% of the cost. It'll bring down the cost of installation by about $7,500. And when you get to keep savings money on your electric bills for the remainder of the year.
So there you go. For all you people that are facing energy shortages for the winter, Joe Biden's got the solution. If you can spend about $35,000 to $40,000 getting your house outfitted with all this stuff, they'll give you a few little tax bennies. And you're going to save on your power bills going forward every month. $35,000, $40,000. Is that really too much for Joe Biden to ask that each one of you spend? Holy cow. Let's see. This was kind of fun. We had the shooter out in Colorado. I didn't, I was out for Thanksgiving last week, so we didn't get around to this. But the CNN had somebody on that made some really sweeping judgments on the shooter and his preferred pronouns.
Natalie, when we started the show, we got a little bit of news earlier that the attorneys for the shooter are now saying that the shooter is non-binary and the shooter would like to use the pronouns they, them. And this is for the court in all court papers. And that's what Anderson Aldrich's attorneys are saying. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that's...
Now, this is a transgender woman, guy. I'm still confused on how you refer to these people, but this is a transgender responding to apparently one of their own committing this heinous act.
Complete ludicrous. I believe they're just saying that because they want to have the easy way out on this. That's really, really offending, especially being a transgender woman myself, that a male, which it was obvious with the mugshot, that's a man. That's not a non-binary person because in no way, shape, or form could they appear as a woman the next day. It's really offensive to even hear that they're playing that role. And if they're non-binary, why would you go after the club where you feel safe at? Why would you do that to a community where you are welcomed in? if you are non-binary?
Excellent question. Obviously, all of this will have to be answered.
Why did postmen go after other postmen? I don't know. But isn't that a sweeping judgment for a transgender to say, I've seen the picture. That is just a man. That really feels pretty hypocritical there, doesn't it? Oh, let's see what else we found out. Oh, this is a good one. This is a new wrinkle to our economy and what companies are having to put when they're reporting earnings these days.
As you can see in this compilation of surveillance footage, there is often nothing subtle about it. Thieves openly stealing merchandise from Target locations across the country.
Along with other retailers, we've seen a significant increase in theft and organized retail crime across our business.
That was Target's CEO on the company's quarterly earnings call Wednesday, discussing what they call inventory shortage, or shrink, in layman's terms, theft.
Year to date, incremental shortage has already reduced our gross margin by more than $400 million versus last year, and we expect it will reduce our gross margin by more than $600 million for the full year.
More than $500 million due to what the industry calls organized retail crime.
Wow. The crime is so bad it's showing up. You know, every company's got a little bit of shrink baked into their stuff. Typical shoplifting. It's always happened. It's always going to happen. Now it is affecting earnings calls. The theft from companies like Target now has gotten so big that it is part of their earnings calls and why they are missing on their numbers. Almost $500 million of just people going in and looting these stores. This is the new U.S. economy. Really humming on all cylinders there, aren't we? That's all the time I got. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see everybody on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.